I want you to join me in Judges chapter number 20. And I think we need to go all the way back to verse 27 to have a really good starting point for this continuing story. You remember that this is taking place very early on in the period of the Judges, even though the story is found toward the end of the book of Judges. Don't know exactly why that is. It's appended material of some sort. We know it's early because Phinehas is the high priest, and he became high priest shortly after the death of Joshua and his father Eleazar. So what had happened was people are just doing what they feel like. There was no king in Israel in those days. Everyone did as they saw fit in their own heart. That's the theme of the time period. It's a sinful time period. And so the story begins, as you remember, with a murder at the city of Gibeah in Benjamin. And then all the Israeli tribes gather to Gibeah in battle to deal with not just the murderers, but the entire tribe of Benjamin seems to be protecting the murderers. But then something unexpected happens. Even though they are checking in with God, apparently by the Urim and the Thummim, they lose a whole bunch of their warriors on the first day. And then they try it a second day, and something similar happens. In fact, when you look at the numbers, they lose in 2 days' time 10% of their fighting force. That's pretty bad. And so that brings us to this time of sorrow and fasting and sacrifice that happens by these people up at Bethel. Now, why are they at Bethel instead of at Shiloh? Again, we don't know for sure. For some reason, it would appear the Ark of the Covenant is moving around away from the tabernacle structure at Shiloh. But verse 27 says, the people of Israel inquired of He who is, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in those days. So that's why we know it's very early in the time of the Judges. Phinehas asks God, apparently very specifically, shall we go out once more to battle against our brothers, the people of Benjamin, or shall we cease? Should we stop it? I mean, we've lost 10% of the fighting force. Should we give up on this? And so He who is said, go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand. So this time around, God does tell them that they will succeed in punishing the Benjamites who are protecting the Gibeonite murderers, or the Gibeah murderers. As I described it, I think God was cleaning house amongst the Israeli people during this time because of the sinfulness that has descended upon the land in this time after the generation of entry into the Promised Land. So this is what the story tells us next. We did a little bit of this, but I really wanted us to hear it all together again. So Israel set men in ambush around Gibeah, and the people of Israel went up against the people of Benjamin on the third day and set themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. So they pull a little historical move from Joshua's time, where Joshua set an ambush near a city that had defeated the Israeli army once. So they're going to do it this time against an Israeli city named Gibeah. And it works. The people of Benjamin went out against the people of Israel. They were drawn away from the city. And as at other times, they begin to strike and kill some of the people on the highways, one of which goes up to Beth-El and the other to Gibeah and in the open country, about 30 men of Israel. So the Israelis retreat away from Gibeah to the north and west, back toward Shiloh, which they just came from. And along the way, they lose 30 more guys. And then the people of Benjamin said, ah, they're routed before us as at the first. But the people of Israel said, let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place from Me'areh Geba. Now, this seems to be a reference to a place, maybe a flat land of some sort, because it's got an idea of an opening area, west of the city of Geba. Now, Geba is about, I think, 3 miles north and east from Gibeah. So this place must be west of Geba. So it's on the direction, it's on the line of retreat that the Israelis are taking from Geba, not Geba, Gibeah, to the northwest, back towards Shiloh. And so the ambush has been set in this area. So they arose from their place, they set themselves in array at Baal Tamar. The men of Israel who were in ambush rushed out of their place from Me'areh Geba, and there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel, and the battle was hard. But the Benjamites did not know that disaster was close upon them. And he who is defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the people of Israel destroyed 25,100 men of Benjamin that day. All these were men who drew the sword, so the people of Benjamin saw that they were defeated. Now that's the overall description of this. That's the casualty figures at the end of this day, apparently, which is roughly 98% of the fighting force of the Benjamites. That's not good, or in the 90s percentile of the fighting force of the Benjamites. So the verse 36, continues with a little bit more of how this all happened. The men of Israel gave ground to Benjamin. That was on purpose, because they trusted the men in the ambush whom they had set against Gibeah. Then the men in the ambush hurried. They rushed against Gibeah, that is, against the city itself. The men in the ambush moved out. We're talking about 10,000 of them. They struck all the city with the edge of the sword. Now, the appointed signal between the men of Israel, that is, the retreating group heading northwest toward Shiloh, and the men in the main ambush, that is, the people who are going into Gibeah itself, was that they made a great cloud of smoke rise up out of the city. And then the men of Israel should turn in battle. So exactly same plan that Joshua used against Ai. The ambush people go into the city, kill any defenders that are remaining there, and set the place on fire. And the smoke coming up from that will be the signal to the false retreating force that the city has been taken. And then they will spin around and attack the pursuing Benjamite force. And then the ambush force is going to be at Gibeah behind them, and they will be caught between the two elements of the Israeli army. So it says that Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, surely they're defeated for us, as in the first battle. But when the signal began to rise out of the city in a column of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them, and behold, the whole city went up in smoke to heaven. Then the men of Israel turned. The men of Benjamin were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. If they'd heard the story of the taking of Ai, which is actually not very far from here, just a couple of miles, they would have known they're in trouble. This is a perfect pinning of them between two battle elements. Therefore, they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness, meaning eastward, heading down toward the wilderness of the Jordan. But the battle overtook them. And those who came out of the cities were destroying them in their midst. Surrounding the Benjamites, they pursued them and trod them down from Nohah as far as opposite Gibeah on the east. Now, the way I think that this is worded in the original, and I checked both the Hebrew and the Greek translation of this, it seems as if they retreat eastward, kind of angling south, and they end up a little bit east of their city of Gibeah. Now, that area is at the head of a drainage system, the Wadi system, that goes down past Jericho into the Jordan. It's called the Wadi Kelt today, and it's spelled sometimes with a K, but often I think with a Q. And it is a steep-sided canyon with lots of little side canyons and caves in it. So 18,000 men of Benjamin fell, all of them in valor. So that's the second bit of casualties that are taken. Now, for sure, with those two casualty figures put together, we've lost at least 98% of the fighting force of Benjamin. They are almost annihilated. So they turned, they fled toward the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon. Now, nobody knows for sure where the Rock of Rimmon is, but I am confident that it is somewhere in the Wadi Kelt between Gibeah and Jericho. And as I said, it's a steep-sided canyon with lots of little side canyons and caves. And so somewhere in that stretch, they fortify themselves in probably one of these little side canyons, and they make their last stand. 5,000 men of them were cut down in the highways. They were pursued hard to get them. 2,000 men of them were struck down. So all who fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men who drew the sword, all of them men of valor, but 600 men turned and fled toward the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon and remained at the Rock of Rimmon for 4 months. So roughly 2% of the original fighting force, actually only about 2% of the adult militia of Benjamin is left alive. And they are barricaded in this Rock of Rimmon for the next 4 months. Now, what does the army of Israel do at this point? Verse 48, the men of Israel turned back against the people of Benjamin. They struck them with the edge of the sword, the city, men and beasts, and all that they found, and all the towns that they found, they set on fire. So they basically adopt a, it's a raise everything to the ground approach to this. They are so angry. They are so blinded by their hatred of the Benjamite tribe at this point that they don't realize or don't think about the fact that they are wiping out one of their own tribes in the Israeli people group. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Now, the men of Israel had sworn at Mizpah, because Mizpah is the place they came to first as a sort of assembly area to make the commitment to go against the tribe of Benjamin because Benjamin was not handing over the murderers of Gibeah. And among the other things that they did at Gibeah was take this very serious oath in the name of He Who Is. No one of us shall give his daughter in marriage to Benjamin. So they put a curse on the entire Benjamite tribe that none of us in the other tribes, including the Levitical tribe, none of us will allow one of our daughters to marry a Benjamite. Well, now that's kind of backfiring on them. The people came to Beth-El. So again, we don't know exactly why Beth-El keeps coming up here as the place where they meet for their religious matters. The Ark of the Covenant is there. Why is it there and not at Shiloh? I cannot give you a good reason for that. So they lifted up their voice. They sat there till evening before He Who Is, which means that the Ark of the Covenant is there. That's God's throne. They lifted up their voices. They wept bitterly. And they said, "Oh, He Who Is, the God of Israel, why has this happened in Israel that today there should be no one, there should be one tribe lacking in Israel?" So after their reprisal war, not just simply against Gibeah and against the defenders of Benjamin that had barricaded themselves at Gibeah, but against the tribe as a whole, they realize that they have killed the tribe of Benjamin except for the 600 guys that are barricaded in the Rock of Rimmon. So the next day, the people rose early. They built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The people of Israel said, "Which of all the tribes of Israel didn't come up to the assembly for He Who Is?" For they had taken a great oath concerning him who did not come up to He Who Is to Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." So now we find out, not only did they take a group oath for the militia that had showed up from all the different areas of Israel, but they'd also said, any town that is not represented in this militia is under a death penalty. We'll do to them what we're about to do to the Benjamites. So the people of Israel had compassion for Benjamin, their brother, and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel this day. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we've sworn by He Who Is that we will not give them any of our daughters for wives?" Because remember, they had swept through Benjamin tribal area and had killed everybody else. All the wives, all the sons and daughters, they executed them all because, well, everybody was doing what they felt like. I often wonder just what Phinehas, the high priest, was thinking through all of this. I picture him as being pretty old when this event happened, and maybe he felt that there was nothing he could do to stop them, that no matter what he protested about it, that these guys were out of control, and they were effectively annihilating the tribe of Benjamin, and anybody that didn't help in that was just as bad. But as we've been developing here, they've got a problem. It means that there's no one that can marry these unmarried and widowed 600 Benjamite men at the Rock of Rimmon so that they could start over again and recover the tribe of Benjamin. So they're looking at the extinction of one of the tribes, and they are grieving over it. So verse 8, they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that didn't come up to he who is at Mizpah? And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. So Jabesh-Gilead is located on the east side of the Jordan, about 20 miles south and east of the Sea of Galilee. And so when they go through the list of all the cities of Israel that showed up for this mandatory meeting, they discovered there wasn't even a single person that showed up for militia duty from this one town. And so they'd already sworn that that town would pay the ultimate price for not showing up. They would be executed. Verse 10, so the congregation sent 12,000 of their bravest men there and commanded them, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, also the women and the little ones, that is the women who have been married. This is what you shall do. Every male, every woman that is lain with a male, you shall devote to destruction. Now, God didn't tell him to do this. They're doing this on their own. They're making these rules up as they go. Because there's no king in Israel in that day. Everybody does as they see fit in their own eyes. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him. They brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. So in their mind, they think they've solved at least part of the problem. They've got 400 brides, virgins, that can now be married to 400 of the 600 remaining Benjamite militia guys. But that still leaves 200 unmarried. The whole congregation sent word to the people of Benjamin who were in the Rock of Rimmon and proclaimed peace to them. Benjamin returned at that time. They gave them the women whom they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, but they were not enough for them. And the people had compassion on Benjamin because he who is had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Now, this is the reason why when we come to the story of Saul later, who is a Benjamite, why there is such an imperative in his mind to save the people of Jabesh-Gilead from an invading force outside of Israel. Because there is a high probability that his grandma or great-grandma came from that town. And so he is tied in. The Benjamite tribe is tied in to the city of Jabesh-Gilead from there on out. And so I'll remind you of this story when we get to that story later. But we've still got 200 Benjamites that are not married again. So the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for wives for those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe not be blotted out from Israel. Yet we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the people of Israel had sworn, cursed be he who gives a wife to Benjamin. So they're trapped by the idea that they swore an oath in the name of God and they have to keep that. So they need a workaround. And again, they don't check with God. They just fly by the seat of their pants. So they said, behold, there is a yearly feast of he who is at Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and south of Labona. That probably the Feast of Tabernacles that takes place in the fall. So they commanded the people of Benjamin, saying, go lie in ambush in the vineyards and watch. If the daughters of Shiloh, and we're talking about the unmarried women of Shiloh, come out to dance in the dances, Then you come out of the vineyards and snatch each one his man or his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and then go to the land of Benjamin. So their plan, their workaround is the 200 Benjamites that are still left without wives should hide out in the vineyards near the tabernacle at Shiloh. And when the young unmarried women come out to dance near those vineyards, they should jump out and propose. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious here. Basically say, come on, baby, be my wife. I need a wife. And that's how they're going to end up fixing the problem. Now, they say, when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, this is the leadership of Israel, remember, we're going to say to them, grant them graciously to us, because we did not take for each man of them his wife in battle, neither did you give them to them, either else you would now be guilty. So basically, as long as we allow them to just basically capture them without any type of dowry arrangements, no type of betrothal periods, then you've kept your vow that you didn't voluntarily give your daughter. But these guys will get a wife, and Benjamin can start over again. It's craziness. So the people of Benjamin did it, and they took their wives according to their number from the dancers whom they carried off. Then they went and they lived in them, rebuilt their towns, returned their inheritance, built their towns, and lived in them. And the people of Israel departed from there at that time, each man to his tribe and family. And they went out from there, every man to his inheritance. And then it finishes, the whole book finishes with this reality as to why this is the type of things happening. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's not a good thing.